step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 562. I am Lisa Schutz, and I am joined remotely in a quarantine version by my lovely and talented co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Do not go away.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
I'm just a someone in an old.
It is Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. On the show today, we have Dylan Uregas from HowlRound Theater Commons to talk about online offerings nationally. And we have a panel of four people talking about online offerings locally. So stick with us. We will be right back. We are back. Thank you for listening to that. Nicole Shiro, I'm checking in with you remotely. We're here talking on Skype.
Yes, we are. I am here. I'm got some potting soil. I got some new plumeria cuttings. Going to plant the plumerias. Have my little cherry blossom yuki bush to plant, and you know, I'm turning
now,
Japanese.
Now, do you prepare your plumerias with butter or oil?
Soil.
Nobody knows. So, okay, here I have, before we get started, I have a question to ask of you.
Okay.
Two questions.
I may
you
have
ready? So the first question, oh, you will. Ben Brantley or Jesse Green?
It depends. I'm going to go Jesse
one.
Green.
Jesse Green. Okay, now choose a number between 1 and 10.
5.
5. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The song we just heard a little while ago is from Light in the Piazza, my absolute favorite musical of all times. So after we got finished slitting our wrist listening to that, here we are talking to one another. So that's how I chose the piece of music that is going to be playing immediately prior to our conversation right now. And that is from a New York Times article that it says, want to listen to musical cast albums? This is a top 10 desert island picks, and both Jesse Green and Ben Brantley did their top 10.
So,
Ben Brantley's number 5 was Light in the Piazza. Blech. Others, his number 1 was, and I don't know if these are in order. They're in alphabetical order. So, I'll just run through. Ben Brantley chose Chicago, Follies, Grey Gardens, Gypsy, Hamilton, My Fair Lady, Oklahoma, Sweeney Todd, The Three Penny Opera, and West Side Story.
So I could do all of those.
Jesse Green.
Oklahoma out. And I'd be okay. Unless I'm hearing Marlana Dietrich singing Surrey with a Fringe on Top in German.
I don't do that again.
That's okay.
Okay. So Jesse Green's choices are different. And I like his, actually, except for the Light in the Piazza one. Jesse Green chose The Band's Visit, Caroline or Change, Hairspray, The Last 5 Years, Light in the Piazza, The Most Happy Fella, Passion, She Loves Me, When Pigs Fly, and Zorba.
You know what? Zorba, Candor and Ebb. It's one of Candor and Ebb's, yep, like the rank. It's one of those, that's not, life is but a dream. Oh, that's a great song. Zorba's When You're on Your Own. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh boy, I wish people could see you. Maybe we'll post this video when we post the show.
Well, so, maybe you need to play some Life is, yeah, maybe you need to play some Zorba. Oh, yeah, his is a much better list, and I take out Light in the Piazza.
Why don't we take a break right now and listen to a song from Zorba?
Oh, yes.
We're
that just
back.
Tickles my fancy every time. I just love the Candor and Ebb, man.
I'm so happy you're happy. One of the things I'm excited about that is happening on Wednesday night. So tonight, as people are listening to this, we are recording this on Sunday, but on Wednesday night, do you remember the Apple Family Rick Nelson series of plays?
Yes.
That all happened. They started the first one, I think, was in 2001, and they all happen. They open the day they open. So the day of the show, the period of the show is the opening day of the show.
Right.
So it's always been very interesting. So they're doing a virtual one on Wednesday night. So the Apple Family is getting together to do one more Apple Family show, and it's presented by the public, and it will be on at 8 p.m. Eastern time on the YouTube channel for the public.
Or you can find it on the YouTube theater. Or Facebook. It's on the YouTube.
I believe it's on the YouTubes. And it is got the original cast. And they talk about when Richard Nelson called all the original cast members, who every single one of them were either in a Broadway show or shooting a series. And all of them found themselves suddenly available. So they've all said yes. They've been rehearsing for 20 days. Two of them live together, and so they're finding a way to have them physically together. They're saying that one of the Apple Family is got coronavirus and is quarantined in another room.
So they're in the same house, but...
They're all in the same house. Well, no, I don't know if they're all in the same house. At least three of the four.
No, but the one person is still in the same house with other people trapped in a room. Woo.
Correct. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And have you seen any of the Apple plays?
I watched a little bit of one. I have to tell you, up until this whole epidemic, pandemic, whatever we're calling, I never was really a big stream on my computer, watched shows on my computer. My computer was my computer and TV was TV. And so this is really the first time that I've really, even though I can stream through my computer without any problem, I've really been doing it on my TV. I've now been doing it on my computer. So it doesn't drive me nuts like it used to. I used to get impatient.
I've been casting to the TV. I need to see it on a big screen, which you can do. With smart TVs now, they all have, yes. You know, I've been watching YouTubes. Ground Floor Theater has been presenting. We just did a re-premiere of There and Back, the video of it, which looks marvelous. And it's all on YouTube, which I can see on my big TV.
Yeah, I could actually Skype through my big TV through my Xbox. So I could be doing this and you could see my whole, maybe we'll do that next time. You can get my whole living room with the camera. Woo!
Would love that.
Woo!
Would love that. The other thing that I want to talk about that's going on nationally that I'm very excited about, and we talked about this a little last week, is that the Victory Garden Theater in Chicago had an award-winning production of Fun Home. And when we last spoke, they said that they were going to stream, but they hadn't announced the dates. But the dates now are May 12th through May 24th. And I am looking so forward to seeing that.
Yeah, me too.
Hold on, I'm going to look for the cast to see whether you know of any of these people, because they're all Chicago folks. I don't know any.
I love the Victory Garden Theater. It's a great little space.
I love it, too. So McKinley Carter is playing Helen. Preetish Chakraborty is playing Little John. Danielle Davis is Joan. Leo Gonzalez is Christian. Sage Elliott Harper is Small Allison. They're sharing the role. Stella Rose Hoyt is also playing Small Allison. Rob Lindley is Bruce Bechtel. Joe Leno is Roy, and a host of others. Allison is played by Danny Smith, and Medium Allison is Hannah Starr. Do you recognize any of those people?
The first name kind of sounded familiar, but maybe just because it's a three-person name. But no, not really.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not doing my like I did for Zorba.
No, that was special. But that is cool. And then I know you were excited about this. And the last little thing I want to talk about in this little section is what's happening would have happened for those listening to it now, but it's happening tonight, Sunday night, is Sondheim's birthday bash. Flash.
Yes. Yes.
Now, did you see the cast list for this?
I was just about to say there is a very big star-studded cray-cray amount of people. But you know what? When you're all stuck at your home, what else can you do? You can't get the excuse I'm unavailable.
I have a feeling they would have done it anyway. But here's part of the lineup. Lane Armitage, Annalee Ashford, Christine Baranski. I said Christian Boyle, who would be good, but he's not in here.
Christine Baranski.
Me too. Laura Benanti, Michael Cerveris, Melissa Errico, Beanie Feldstein, Sutton Foster, Maria Friedman, Alexander Gemignani, Josh Groban, the Grobes, Gyllenhaal, Anne Harada, somebody named Neil Patrick Harris, Austin Kuh, Judy Kuhn, speaking of fun home, Linda Lavin, Katrina Link,
my favorite. I miss Alice. I was just talking about Alice recently. Linda Lavin.
That Alice. I was trying to figure out what you were talking about.
Linda Lavin, about Alice. Whoa,
no, I got that. I thought you were talking about Alice Ripley, but you went somewhere else. Kelvin Moon Lowe, somebody named Patty LuPone, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Audra McDonald, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Donna Murphy, Kelly O'Hara, Mandy Patinkin, Bernadette Peters, Ben Platt, Randy Rainbow. That's going to be interesting. Leah Salonga, Stephen Schwartz, Tom Sesma, Elizabeth Stanley, Meryl Streep, Aaron Tveit, Brandon Yuronovitz, and Chip Zahn. What an incredible thing.
Yeah, and I think Michael Cerveris, didn't he put this all together? I think he was the one that was calling everybody and putting this whole little, got everybody to join the party, if I recall correctly, but I could be wrong.
I do not know, but it is directed by Paul Wontorek.
Well, that's exciting.
Somebody I don't know. So what is exciting you right now on the national level theater-wise?
I can't believe, I mean, Hugh's been all in the news lately. Hugh's got a new movie coming out with Alice and Janney that got me excited, and I watched the trailer, but he's been doing a lot of interviews and practicing for Music Man at home, and he says he's still going to rehearsals and stuff's going to happen, and I'm like, okay, and I don't like the Music Man, but I'm excited.
I like the Music Man.
Now, Casey's in the other room singing Shapoopy.
Yeah, well, that's sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah, I hear Shapoopy coming from the front of the house now. He loves the Music Man.
I as well am a fan of the Music Man. I don't have a lot of negative things to say about it. So let's switch our gears a little bit and talk about online offerings that theaters are doing, which, of course, they're happening all over the place. All the theaters around the country are doing it. And one of the companies that's sort of on the vanguard of this online thing theatrically is HowlRound Theater Commons.
Yeah.
And and so they're, this is so right up their alley that they were doing before all this COVID-19 stuff happened. And Dylan Uregas, who works there, used to live here in Austin, now lives in Boston where they are. And he and I got on Zoom yesterday, I think, and talked about what HowlRound's up to. Let's
listen to that. Did you have a good conversation?
We did. I can't do a Boston. Here's the conversation. Hey, everyone. We have Dylan Uregas here with us. Dylan is an ex-Austinite and now a Bostonian. And Dylan works for HowlRound Theater Commons. Hi, Dylan.
Hello.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is I've been aware of HowlRound for a while now, and HowlRound, as it pertains to small theaters like Ground Floor Theater and others, helps us in live streaming our shows. But HowlRound does so much more, doesn't it?
Yes, so many things. Our official title is that we are an online platform for theater makers worldwide. And so that's many, many, many different things of what we do. So yes, like you said, we do live streaming, and that's through, or specifically for performances, conferences, convenings, panel discussions, pretty much anything that has to do with disrupting the normal narrative of commercial theater as we know it. And then we also do, we have a journal that people can write for or write to. And yeah, also like, you know, doing all the fun disruptive things. We also love to hear like from like what people are doing globally. We have an initiative out of Eastern Europe where it's primarily based in Romania, Hungary, and now about to go to Poland. So we have a lot of like journal and live stream content out of there when we could have it out of there. let's see, what else do we have?
Well, let me ask you this. One of the things that I want to talk about specifically here mm-hmm. is what we have found as theater makers here in Austin and mm-hmm. everywhere with the COVID-19 crisis is we have been forced into retooling our theater making and our content into more of an online situation. Mm-hmm. So we're learning as we go and we're doing all the things that HowlRound has basically started out doing. How mm-hmm. has this COVID-19 crisis affected what HowlRound is doing nationally and internationally?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that we've definitely seen an uptick in pitches and people trying to contribute to HowlRound specifically. A good example that I use is before all the stay-at-home orders started happening, we would have, you know, 5 to 10 live streams a month, and that was that. Yesterday, we had 5 streams alone. And it's been like that pretty much consistently, like almost like, you know, 3, 4, 5 live streams a day. And it's been like also like a bunch of different types of content with that. Before where it would have been like, you know, we would have done like a performance here and maybe like a conference here. Now we're seeing a lot of people doing workshops. Like we have like 3 different playwrights who have done workshops.
Yeah, Susan Laurie Parks is doing one for you guys, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
She's brilliant. We love her. So the public used to, oh my God, yes. And also just a lovely human. I'm like, how did you make such amazing, wonderful things, and you are also such like an amazing, wonderful human. This is amazing. So she actually, the public did a work from home before when in the like loft area of Joe's Pub.
Yep.
She would be there like on the little stage and you could like come in and, you know, watch her write, ask her questions, stuff like that. And so it was really easy to like just move it onto a digital platform. And now it's watch me work from home. just zooming in and having very similar practices with that. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I also noticed you have something tonight that's around equity and inclusion in theater, which is so important that is happening everywhere. And I know that that's something that Ground Floor Theater has been working on. And mm-hmm. the city of Austin has mandated it in their cultural arts division, that it's wow. all around creating equity, which is so, so vital and important to mm-hmm. the theater world. That's interesting. Oh, I had this great question. It totally disappeared.
Oh, no.
I know. So let me ask you this. So many of us are creating online content. Mm-hmm. Is that something like if somebody was creating online content that they wanted to be part of HowlRound? I guess the question is, and I do remember it now, is how does and does HowlRound curate its content?
Right. So you can easily go online to our homepage and there's a button that says contribute content. And you just fill out a pitch form of whatever you want to do. If you want to write for it, if you want to live stream, if you want to produce a podcast, there are several different options that you have there. And then we have a weekly editorial meeting where we discuss the pitches that have come in and just kind of like give it a good, we like in-depthly talk through all of the pitches that come in to see if, you know, their values aligned, if they are like disrupting the status quo of theater, if they're more of a fit for HowlRound, or if they would be a better fit elsewhere, you know, because we have definitely done that for people, like, check out American Theater Magazine, check out this other place, maybe do something a little bit more local because it's a little bit more local focused. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Do y'all talk about me a lot there in those meetings?
So much. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Your name has been dropped a couple times.
But in our last little few minutes, is there anything that's on the horizon that HowlRound is doing that's exciting that you can share with us?
So for journal content next week, we're doing a Theater in the Age of Climate Change series. That's a consistent one that we've done for almost 5 years now, but in its new iteration, and it is taking into consideration the global pandemic that's happening right now. So I'm very excited to read all of those. And I believe, do not quote me on this, but I believe there may be like a live stream attached to that. Like, yeah, someone's doing something where it has to do with climate change and the pandemic. Because, you know, it was just Earth Day and it's about to be Arbor Day. So always thinking about the Earth.
Well, as well we should. Well, Dylan Yoregas, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air. I don't think you've been on before, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, now you're part of the family. So thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lisa. This was great.
That's excellent. Thank you, Dylan.
It was wicked good. It was no joke.
It was wicked good. So we have to take a break real quick, and we will come back. So before we go out, let's choose a number between 1 and 10.
7.
7. Only because here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's listen to a little bit of Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
I feel you, Joanna.
You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We're here.
We're here. So it was nice to hear some Sondheim. So there's a lot of stuff going on locally. I just pulled up Now Playing Austin right now, and I'm going to click on online streaming. Fusebox Festival is going on right now.
How many things do you see up there with the list of streaming? It was really big when I was up there recently.
A lot, actually. So the Fusebox Festival has already taken place. Have you been watching any of it?
I watched a little bit, and then I got a phone call, so I got pulled away. That's part of the thing that I don't like watching on video. I can't pause because I'm used to pausing on my TV, and that's the
you
one thing I have
can't
to get used
to. You actually can pause
on
YouTube.
I've never tried. I guess I just thought I couldn't because I was streaming live. Okay. It's recorded. That makes sense. Yeah. Hello.
So looking at Now Playing Austin on their online offerings, there's a lot of yoga and sewing circles and things like that. But let's just choose something at random. The Reverie. The Reverie is presented by the Cheshire Events. They're digital. They've got a queer variety show featuring surreal, dark, sensual entertainment through tradition of modern circus. Yeah, for more information, their official website is... who knows what this is. Just look at Now Playing Austin. Reverie. It looks really interesting. Yeah. So we actually, you and I spent some time talking to Laura Toner Haddock and Ken Webster over at Hyde Park and Melissa Vogt at the Vortex talking about what they're doing locally. It was a great conversation.
It was.
So let's listen to it because it's we always run out of time, but I think we're going to run out of time again. So let's listen to that conversation right now.
Okay.
We have some of the theater makers here in Austin and some of the ones that are the most prolific in doing online offerings during this COVID-19 process or whatever we want to call it. We have Laura Toner Haddock from Austin Playhouse. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
We have Melissa Vogt from The Vortex. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
And Mr. Ken Webster from Hyde Park Theater.
Good morning, afternoon.
And of course, Nicole is here too.
Hello.
Hello.
So, and I will be actually speaking a little bit from Ground Floor Theater's perspective, because we've been doing a lot of online stuff too. So anybody that wants to start, so I want to just, before we talk about what you're actually doing, how do you feel as a theater maker about sort of switching from our live kind of experience, which is what makes theater theater, in my opinion, to this online offerings? How do y'all feel about that?
It's an exciting alternative during these times. We can't produce any plays right now, and we're not sure when we'll be able to again, but we do have a lot of online programming available, and the response has been really great from our audiences. So I'm kind of excited about this, at least for the interim, as a way to keep in touch with our audiences.
Yeah, I'm grateful. Sorry.
Go ahead, Laura.
I'm grateful that we've been able to do something and keep producing, but it's absolutely not the ideal circumstances to be rolling out a brand new type of programming. But it is allowing us to keep connected with the audience and have that interaction with the audience and the actors. So we're grateful that we've had something to be able to create.
And Melissa, I think the Vortex has probably been the most prolific of all of us doing online stuff. You've got stuff happening every single day.
Well, not exactly every single day. We're doing at least 5 nights a week.
Okay.
That's a lot.
As I said, every single day.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, looking at it from an accessibility standpoint, I feel like this is making strides in allowing people that might not be as mobile even to experience and interact with other people the way that, you know, more mobile people often can just do without thought. And so from that standpoint, we've definitely had audience members that have contacted us that are very grateful that they can participate in ways that they haven't been able to before. So I don't necessarily think that this type of programming is going to completely go away after all of this is over. I think, you know, this is a sea change moment for live performance venues. It's also very stressful because it's not like you have a team of people there with you in the room helping you produce this stuff. It often falls on like one person to kind of like pull all the threads together and push it out, you know, which is, you know, it's hard.
Right. And it's a learning process. I mean, for Ground Floor Theater, our first one was just very, very ragged, and we're getting to a point where we sort of know what we're doing now. So it's a learning process as well.
But I think it's been a learning process for everyone, Lisa. If you look at all these talk shows that are now doing everything, their very first ones for the first 2 or 3 times they did them were hot messes too, until they figured it out. And I quite honestly am enjoying those more than I was in the old format. So I think people's guards are down. So when people are talking, I feel like everything is 10 times more authentic than it was before.
Yeah. And what I think is interesting about what we're doing here locally is how the 4 different companies that are represented here all have a different take on how and what we are presenting. So, Laura, could you just start and tell folks what kind of stuff Austin Playhouse is presenting virtually?
Sure. We have a large variety of things that we're putting out, but the centerpiece has been this, we're calling it an online workshop of Cindy Williams' new work. She started doing these Today's Gratitude posts in November of 2019. And in her words, they were kind of a way to get her creativity back after her world fell apart. So she started just writing these little Facebook posts, and they got very popular. And a couple weeks into it, I saw a story about she was a DJ the night John Lennon died. And I said, this works as a performance piece. And I think she started leaning into more of these anecdotal stories about her life, which are just really raw and really inspiring in a very human way. So when, and we had planned to workshop it as a live performance piece in August. And when this all happened, I said, you know, their monologues, actors can do this in their home. They can do what they can choose whichever one they want. And that was kind of part of the process, seeing what the actors connected with. And then we put them up, we see what the audience connects with. And we're still planning to do the stage version of this workshop, but we're just starting with these. So we've put out, I think, 25 so far, one every weekday for the
and
past.
And where for Austin Playhouse, where is your stuff showing? Is it YouTube, Facebook, all of the above?
We have it on YouTube. It's reposted on Facebook and Instagram, and they are also on our website. So
all over the place. Yeah. And yeah. Ken, what is Hyde Park Theater doing?
We started out with a one night only performance of House by Daniel McIver. That was March 28th. And since then, we have done Hot Dogs at the Eiffel Tower by Maggie Gallant for one evening only. Last weekend, we did Frontera Fest, Best of the Fest 2018. We did five shows last Friday night and five shows on last Saturday night. And this weekend, we're doing Frontera Fest, Best of the Fest 2019, five shows on Friday. And I don't know when this is going to air. So I may be talking in things in the past, but we're doing Frontera Fest again this Friday and Saturday at 8. And we're going to be doing...
We are recording on Friday. So you meaning tonight?
And tonight. Yes.
Yeah. So this will be happening in the past for those listening to it.
But we'll be doing more.
Are all those things available on your YouTube channel afterwards?
We are not leaving them up. The playwrights and creators of these shows have been kind enough to let us post them, but we're not leaving them up for more than 24 hours. We do have a piece that is up all the time for people who like baseball and men with strange hobbies and monologuists. I do this piece about my strange hobby. I've been on Twitter for the last several years as John Bateman, my favorite baseball player who died in 1996. So I've done several performances of this piece about the Twitter feed, about my strange hobby. And that one stays up on the Hyde Park Theater YouTube channel all the time. But we're also going to be doing Raul Garza's play, Confessions of a Mexpatriate, coming up sometime around Cinco de Mayo.
Now that's, so most of the stuff that you've been putting up is stuff that you have produced earlier and have on video. Is that?
Yes, except for House. House had to close two weekends early because of the troubles. So we recorded one final performance of it, and the playwright and his agents were kind enough to let us stream that performance on March 28th, and we had a really tremendous response to that one.
Wonderful. And Melissa, what's the Vortex doing?
We're doing a real mix of pre-recorded past shows being rebroadcast and live performances. And the live performances can take a real mix from like improv. We've done the workshop of Jesus Baez's new performance that's coming up this year, knock on wood, that it will still be able to be performed. We had people, some poets, some slam poets dial in from all over the nation to do a digital slam night. It's really varied. So it just kind of depends week to week what you're going to get. You're always going to get something different.
Awesome. And just speaking for Ground Floor Theater, we sort of organically come into a situation where we're doing a live new piece, what we're calling our Zoom reading series, where we read a piece live. And then those typically happen on Sunday nights. And on Thursday nights, we play a video of shows that we've just done. For instance, we just last night on Thursday did Raul Garza's There and Back. And then we tried something different. We did a talk back afterwards. So after everybody watched the premiere on YouTube, we all met on Zoom for a talk back, and we Facebooked live that. So it's interesting how we're doing. It's been interesting for us to see how much engagement we've been getting. How have you guys, and it's been sort of some are good and some are bad. How has engagement with your audience been for these online offerings?
Well, you know, it really depends on the piece. I find that like doing rebroadcasts, it's better to do it on YouTube because that actually is more accessible. There's a lot of people out there that don't use Facebook and get really disappointed if they can't see the thing, even though we do repost everything on our website so that people can see it. But I've discovered that if you really want people to chat and engage in that way, Facebook Live is the best way to go because mm-hmm. that's just, it's a social platform for a reason.
Yeah, the social platform part is built in already for you. You just have to talk.
That's right.
What about you, Laura? What kind of engagement have you guys had?
Yeah, so we're kind of in the same position. We decided to post on YouTube and have that host the content. It made the most sense for us because we're not doing these live premieres. We are going to start incorporating Facebook Live. I'm going to start doing some kind of daily or weekly curtain speech type addresses to let people know how we're doing. Our YouTube subscription has tripled, but it was almost non-existent to begin with. I'm really curious. We had, you know, over 100 hours worth of viewing last month, and I want to see what the April statistics are because I think I'm curious how much energy I should put into driving subscriptions to YouTube and to really try to get that up because we're nowhere near the 1,000 subscriber threshold that you need to have to say have a donate button on your YouTube page, that kind of thing. So we're looking at what sort of effort we want to put into that. But in general, I love, you know, people being able to comment and respond and talk to us about the pieces they're seeing. That's great.
Sure. And Ken, what about you?
The very first one we did, which was the closest thing we have done to a live performance that no one had seen yet, the best response was for House, the mm-hmm. Daniel McIver play. And the number of views have gone down since then, but we're getting some new people doing the Frontera Fest stuff. We got a lot of people viewing who are casual fans of the theater, but more specifically fans of the different performers and writers who were involved in the Frontera Fest, Best of the Fest.
So how do we, I mean, by and large, let's just pretend that this lock-in didn't take place and we found ourselves doing these things organically. Would we continue doing them? Are you going to continue doing them once the stay-in-place order is lifted?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. What about you, Nicole? Are you going to do them?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing them my whole life. My life is a show.
The Vortex just launched a new membership program, and I think that we're going to be incorporating more digital things into that. Like, if you're a member, you get kind of behind-the-scenes digital access to things, you know, that the general public doesn't necessarily get to see.
We're looking at a similar program for some sustaining memberships.
So, like, what would those be? I'm just thinking in terms of what that could be. Would you just have a spy cam in your theater that they can access?
You know, it might be like interviews with the cast and the crew, like some backstage stuff, some in process recordings, like. People like to see what goes on behind the scenes and like how the mm-hmm. sausage is made. So that's really interesting to our audience.
I can tell you as a publicist, that's something I'm constantly telling all the organizations and theaters I work with, that content, the audience wants it, the press wants it, the public wants it. It's something that they don't get all the time. So you go, because I'm telling people to do that all the time.
we're also looking at the early access component. So here's content that you can get before it goes out to everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah.
I find it kind of interesting as well that, you know, there are some 100 theater companies here in Austin. And I think maybe out of necessity for us, because we all have a venue connected to our theater companies, you are not seeing a lot of the theater companies that don't have a venue doing as many online offerings as the venued ones are. I'm wondering, and I'm just sort of wondering out loud, whether this new trend after this whole crisis is over, if that's going to be picked up again with some of the companies that aren't depend or don't have a venue that they need to support at the same time. What do y'all think?
I think so. There's more of a sense of urgency for us with venues to do this online programming. But I think some of the theater companies that do shows at Hyde Park or at Vortex or anywhere in town, I think the ones that don't have their own venues, I think we'll be seeing more online programming from them as well.
Right. And some of the, a lot of those companies, they're newer, and so they don't necessarily have the deep
archives to go through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They'd have to be producing things from scratch. And, you know, I can see where there'd be a lot of difficulty with that. At least the Vortex has a pretty deep archive to fall back on, you know.
Absolutely. And the Vortex has been really good previous to this, using HowlRound Theater Commons to live stream performances. So you're sort of, Melissa, you guys are sort of on the vanguard of this movement, and HowlRound has already been situated. So I'm wondering, I'm assuming you're still having conversations with them. Are they going to expand what they do after, now that there's sort of this new normal that we're coming to?
Gosh, you know, I honestly don't, I can't really speak to that. I'd love to. I mean, the last conversation I had with them was kind of really soon right after all of this happened. And I was like, hey, look, we're kind of switching gears and we're going to digital. We have all these things. What do you want to do? And they're like, we don't know yet. I can tell that they've switched their digital programming to more like panel discussions and right. and stuff like that, which is great.
Well, actually, you've just given me an idea. After we get off this, I'm going to email Dylan and see if he wants to hop on a call. And we'll maybe talk to Dylan over at HowlRound right now.
Yes, yeah. Because we, I think in the first week of digital programming that we did, I had a conversation with Dylan that we streamed about like kind of the state of theater and all that good stuff. But that was like 6 weeks ago. So how fast things change, even though like our timeline seem to have slowed down to glacial pace, you know?
It really is incredible. So is there anything that any of you want to say to like the listening audience, people that maybe haven't been able to go to the theater, or maybe were not aware of the online offerings? What would you want to say to them to either drive them to your space or to look for more fine things, online offerings from a theatrical perspective?
Well, everything is so different. The stuff that we're all putting out online is really different. Each of the companies that are here today and the other companies that are doing the online programming, it's all really different. And so there's so much variety out there, and to quote the president, what have you got to lose? Check it out.
No.
Don't quote the president on my show, Ken.
Ken, you were supposed to say, it's great. It's really, really great. It's going to be good.
Best. We have the best.
That's the thing that I would encourage people, if they see something they like, to find some way to interact with it, even just a real quick thumbs up, a brief comment. That audience artist interaction is at the heart of theater, and I think the creators are missing that. I'm missing that as much as anything. So my request to anybody engaging with this content would be to, you know, really find a way to let those content creators know that you're out there. It's crucial.
Agreed.
Yeah. Where I'm coming from, the digital stage is still a communal experience. So if people are really craving that, I want to get together and, you know, see a play and then have that conversation afterwards, that's all possible. It's just, you know, we're getting together from our living rooms.
So there's a patron of ours who has been watching all of the online stuff, and their friends are watching, and then they're having a drink afterwards and doing Zoom things with their friends, discussing what they just saw. I think that's fantastic. And another thing that's really great on this online programming, there's been so much cooperation between the theater companies. Non-company members are performing in some pieces. That's been really exciting. Like the Vortex stuff, the Decay stuff. There have been non-Vortex people involved in that, in writing and performing. And same with the Austin Playhouse stuff. It's a combination of company members and non-company members who are helping create all this online stuff. And I think that's fantastic.
Well, that's right. Like, this is not the time to be insular. We want to open it up to everybody in the community, because, you know, it's a hard time for artists, both financially, but like also emotionally and mentally. A lot of us were in process on things and then didn't get that closure of like being able to open the show and like do the thing. So in a way, this is like a big stress relief for everybody. Well, and that should be for our entire community, not just, you know, Vortex Company.
You know, Lisa, this also speaks on what we were talking about with Ann Ciccolella last week, is when we were saying there's, you know, there really is theater for everyone, and you just have to find that right show or that right thing that sparks you. And now is the perfect time, without leaving your living room, to get a sampling of what all these theater companies and artists have, and to find that one piece that does inspire you and that gets you going.
Yep, that's true. Well, you've heard it here, folks. Well, I'd ask you is to look out, explore all the online offerings that these theaters have and others, and then definitely interact with it when you get there. I think that's a huge point. And y'all said it just so wonderfully, that that's some of the things that the artists are missing, which is what makes theater vital. So interact with it online. And I would like to thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Such a pleasure.
Okay, Laura Turner Haddock, Ken Webster, Melissa Vogt, and of course, Nicole Shiro. Thank you so much for having this discussion about your online offerings. And with that, we'll return to our show. What a wonderful conversation it was.
Yeah, I could have sat and talked to them for a while.
Well, one of the things that's been happening with this, the lock-in, is the theater companies have really reached out and we're communicating with one another. So there are weekly calls with the venue theaters are getting together every week, and then the entire theater community is getting together every week. So it's really done a good job of having us communicate, which is something we really needed.
I've heard more people go, oh yeah, I'm talking to this one and this one. And I'm like, everyone is really banded together in a great way, not just fluff talk.
Well, unfortunately, we are plumb out of time. Again, I don't know who's next. Typically, Austin Monitor News is next, but who knows? There is no backstage at Offstage, because we are backstage at Offstage right now.
We are backstage right now.
Great. Well, we're going to go out with Randy Rainbow's Spoonful of Clorox. Because why not? So Randy Rainbow's Spoonful of Clorox, and that will play until we run out of time. So bye, y'all. We'll see you next week.
When viral symptoms underlie, there are home remedies to try. You find the one that works, and snap, you're safe. And every product neath your sink might be a medicine to drink. No need for tests, the president suggests.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant, where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that? By injection.
That a spoonful of Clorox makes your temperature go down. Your temperature go down. Temperature go down. Just a spoonful of Clorox makes your temperature go down. It's the latest COVID craze.
Supposing we hit the body with whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light.
A politician who distracts has very little.